This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning. Dan Laxer in for the Vacationing Ken Connors with Walter Assey of Renovco sitting across the table from me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to see you, Dan.
Yeah, good to see you, too. Good to have you in studio. Yesterday was, toward the afternoon, the heat wave broke. The fever broke. How do you deal with that level of humidity?
You don't. Mm-hmm. You just stay home and try to hydrate and not be outside for a long period of time. On our exterior jobs, the guys tend to have shorter days. Obviously, if they have to be for example, we were on a. Had a team working on a deck, and we got them parasols, and they were working under the parasol because it's much better for the paint as well.
Yeah, of course.
It's very bad to have overheated paint, overheated wood when you're painting. Mm-hmm. So things of that nature. Try to work inside as much as possible if you can, and. Limit your especially the main hours of the day where the sun is too strong, early, like for example, a lot of my construction crew, they start at 7, mm-hmm. but in cases like this we start them up at 5 or 6:30, right? So they start an earlier day, but they finish way earlier as well.
Are there certain jobs that you might have to decide, hey, you know what, it's going to be too humid, it's not, we shouldn't install this or do that?
Roofing is one very,
well, of course.
I mean, it's crazy how I know maybe it's weird to say, but working on a roof is actually harder than working on the ground.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a dark roof. So if it's black or anything like that, I've done it with a few guys. I didn't do the work. I was there supervising something, and I got to tell you, I think I lost 5 pounds in like 40 minutes.
Yeah, I believe it.
So things like that, we try to limit as much as possible, mm-hmm. or rotate the guys. You know, if you have a bigger team, you can get them to rotate. Landscaping, anything that is physical, because already it's physical and you're sweating even when the weather is nice. So mm-hmm. imagine when it's hot and you combine that, you add that to the equation. So you dehydrate really quickly.
Yes.
So that's where you have to be really careful.
Well, that's why they say, drink before you're thirsty.
That's correct. That's one thing. The other thing is you have to understand the materials you're working with.
Yeah.
For example, to apply paint on the outside, we always say do it as early as possible in the morning, mm-hmm. when the wood is still cold. As soon as the wood is heated and you apply the paint, the absorption is not the right absorption. So it kind of evaporates in certain areas and absorbs in other areas differently. So you don't mm-hmm. have that nice uniform coat on the deck. So same thing with tar, same thing with shingles. If it's too cold also, it's on the other side. You have to be careful. So that's why we say read the instructions, because each manufacturer mm-hmm. as well have different guidances on what tolerance level their material could be applied on, heat or cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. All makes sense. We've got some calls and a couple of texts that are already in. Why don't we start with a phone call from Beaconsfield? Good morning, Terry.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. How can we help you?
I have a heat pump that I had to put in 5 pounds of Freon last June. Mm-hmm. And they also put a dye color. So just this last week, I got heat out of my air conditioning part. And the guy came on Friday. The dye color was found in the coil panel. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation from him is to replace the coil. Mm-hmm. And the job would be costing me like $2,000. I also paid $400 for two new sequencers on the furnace part. Mm-hmm. Relais sequencers. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday's job was $400. My question is, do I do this or do I buy a new thermal pump?
How old is your heat pump?
The heat pump and the furnace were installed in December 2009.
Okay. So they're about 13 years old. And any other issues? Did you have any other issues in the past? Did you change the compressor? Do you have anything that have still warranty on it?
No and no.
Okay. It's a tough one because you're right. To replace a heat pump on an average is about, I say, $5,000. And you're kind of spending 50% right now just for one part of the heat pump. So you're not sure next year if your compressor is going to go or anything else. Do you mind me asking what brand are we dealing with?
On the machine, it says Amana, but on his estimate, it says Goodman.
Okay.
I don't know why.
My recommendation is, again, there's a reason why I asked for the brand. So my recommendation is it's you're halfway there. Maybe you're better off changing the whole unit. Only because, you know, certain brands or certain models tend to have more issues than other ones. You know, and chances are you're going to start spending money a lot more often on them when they start breaking. Especially okay. if you have a compressor that break or anything like that. If it would have been a few hundred dollars, I would tell you take a chance. But I'm just worried to tell you that and then next year something else break. But let them also check for, sometimes it's just a gas leak somewhere. So you just have something that is a bit loose somewhere and that's causing you repetitive problems. So let him check for that as well before going to that second level of stuff.
Well, I understood that he checked that by putting the dye in last June, and then he told me it takes months for the dye to run through the system. Mm. And then yesterday when he took the panel off, the dye was sitting right there at the coil. So then he tells me I need a new coil.
Yeah, then in that case, it is a new coil indeed. So if he checks for that, that's a good thing. Yeah, I mean, this, again, it's a question of 2009, that's already 13, 14 years. Compressors, you know, most heat pumps now, the good ones are 10 years warranty. So usually that means after 10 years we start having issues, right? Because they're as good as the warranty. So you're already up there in age. Now the other thing I want to tell you that's more important is that the new ones are a lot more efficient. So yes, you're going to end up paying a couple of grand more to get a new one, but you're going to get these guys to save you a lot of hydro because they work at yours was working until minus 12. The new ones are going to start working until minus 30. So you're going to save tremendously on hydro as well. And there's a silver lining there for you.
Okay, yeah. I was reading the CEER, that rating, and are we still at 14-15? Because I understand in the States it's higher already.
I'm not sure. I can't really tell you. But I can tell you another thing as well, so before I forget. There are subsidies right now, so you can get a good amount of money back that might offset all your spending on this. Like I think we did one right now last couple of weeks ago, and in her case she was able to get $7,000 back. Now what you do is you would have to get an audit report of energy, so that costs a few hundred dollars. Then they give you the recommendations, for example, your heat pump, your furnace, your insulation, but you don't have to do everything on that list. You can pick and choose, and whatever you pick and choose, there are subsidies associated with these types of works. And a lot of it have to do with furnaces and heat pumps.
Okay. Right.
I hope that
so
helps, Terry.
This is all online. I guess it's all online, right?
It's all online. You could research it. And it's really, it's one of, like, I think it's of the highest I've ever seen. So it's really worth it. That way you'll get a new heat pump, potentially even maybe a new furnace. I don't know how old your furnace is or you're having issues with it. And you'll get some money back.
Yeah. Okay.
So it might boil down to you to be the same. Okay.
All right. Okay. It's a good thing you called, Terry. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cheers. 514-790-0800. You can text in as well to 514-800. We've got a question about aluminum roofs coming up in just a sec.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Dan Laxer in with Walter Assey of Renovco. And let's head into Ahuntsic. This is Guido. Hi there.
Good morning. Let me just advise you, I'm at work. If in case they call me, I'm going to have to hang up.
Okay.
I'll try as fast as possible to state up my problem. I have a duplex here in the East End, and I have an aluminum framing, which is in French called la corniche, around the house, just around the roof. It's nailed to the wall, to the brick wall. It was done 30 years ago. After this, the ice storm, because of probably the accumulation of ice, the frame moved a bit. In other words, the nail started coming out from the wall. So I left it like that. It didn't look too serious. This year, with the probably rain, slush, and accumulation of ice, it moved quite a bit. I've been trying to get a hold of somebody to do this kind of work, but I'm having problems. I call, set up an appointment, but nobody shows up. Or they're too busy, or they don't want to do the job. Do you have anybody in mind that I can call?
What kind of contractors did you call?
I called, but listen, I was too young back then. I was in my 20s, dealt with my father-in-law. He probably dealt with the whole thing. It was a private contractor. He did it, but it wasn't well done. Anyway, the gentleman...
No, but I mean, I'm saying now, who have you been calling to get
that? I called one called Aluminium Isabelle.
Okay, so you've been calling like...
ads that I've been seeing here and there, you know, and I don't know... Like, okay. Even the roofing companies don't have anybody.
No, roofing companies would not want to have nothing to do with it. I'll give you an example. We have one case right now with one section of a soffit that is missing from a home and a roof that have to be changed. And even that, the roof is literally anybody could do the job. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. So don't even waste your time with that. What you want to try to call is... soffit gutter contractors. This is your best bet. Many reasons. Number one, gutter contractors, their jobs tend to be smaller, meaning like in size. If you call a brick mason, for example, the guy is going to laugh and hang up the phone in your face because they're looking for the bigger jobs. But gutter guys already are equipped. They have the ladders. They are very used to work these types of jobs on ladders. Now, it's habits, right? If you see gutter contractors, they're on a ladder installing a 20-foot gutter, and it's actually a show to see because you see all these big ladders with light, big things and what have you, and they go up and down. Now, the big guys are used to work on scaffolding, which is a lot longer to set up. So you have to look at tradesmen habits and what they're comfortable with before you make your call. It's very strategic, everything you do about construction, right? So if you call a gutter guy, he's used to a smaller job just because the numbers are usually smaller for them, but they have all the tools in their car, and the guys are very capable of doing this way quicker. They put the ladders, they go up, they nail it down, and then they go back down. And they're used to working with nails on ladders because that's how you install gutters. So, I mean, and sometimes what you try to do, I mean, it's sad to say, but sometimes you have to entice them because you do a combo, you do a package deal. You say, look, I have this and I also have that to do. So let's say you have a gutter that you need to change, a downspout, this and that. So just make it sound like it's worth their while to come. If not, you're going to have that problem for a long, 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 long time, unfortunately, especially exterior jobs. We've been getting loads of calls on exterior jobs because of the rarity of these crews and the shortness of their season. They really have a very short season, and then you add rain to the equation, it just makes it a nightmare for them. So
everybody that's come here, roofers, a couple of roofers that have been seeing the job done, they said it wasn't done properly because the gentleman used nails. You're supposed to be using screws, apparently. Is that true?
That's correct. So, okay. Because the problem with nails is with time, it spirals out.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So, you know, screws are always better in anything you do. That's the truth. But, yeah. So, I mean, again, your guys to call. Now, the other thing I want to tell you, Guido, is try to see if you could find someone that does like gutters and soffits and what have you, but in your area. They do work by areas and they don't like to travel. So if you find someone nearby, that will be your best bet.
Okay, so it's called, in English, it's called soffits, you said, right?
Soffits and gutters. That's usually soffits what they do. Okay. Fascia, okay. Soffits, gutters.
Okay, I'll look it up on Google. Maybe something that might come up.
Not a problem.
Thank you very much.
My All right, back to work now, Guido. Have a good day. Thanks for the call. This text came in around 6:30 this morning, and I remembered it. This gentleman says, I have accepted a quote over $250,000 to put an extension on my house. It was given and signed in November 2022. We're still waiting for the building permit. Should I ask for a new quote? Haven't prices come down a lot in the last 8 months?
I have to say, I mean, it's really nice of you. You didn't call me at 6:30 to answer this. So at least you waited until I show up. But it must have been bothering him for him to send that text that early, eh? And I do understand the question is a very legitimate one. Mm-hmm. The prices of lumber did go down. That is true. Mm-hmm. But not all the prices have gone down. Like a lot of the finishing products and even certain electrical wires have gone up. So you have to look at the project as a whole. That's number one. The second thing is you have to look at the price of labor. Mm-hmm. Labor is still in big shortage in construction in Quebec. That's still a fact. So when you do a contract that is forfaitaire and not by the hour, there's a certain, if you wish, there's a certain, you're obliged to respect your part of the deal as much as the other guy. Right? Mm-hmm. Because the opposite could be true. If the prices went up, what do you do? Is that 250? If your contractor come to you and tell you, well, the prices went out, now you have to pay me double.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a risk for both parties. Now, he could, before he starts engaging in that conversation, he could go and get other bids just to see if there's a big stretch, yeah, a big spread or not. Because who knows? Maybe you'll go get the other bit and they're going to be more expensive. So I would not start that conversation and potentially piss off my contractor for good or no good reason. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet. Before we do our own research. Now, if let's say there's no agreement, obviously there has to be some type of indemnity. You have to pay a certain indemnity to your contractor for whatever they've done so far. If they went to the city, get permits, involved in design, so on and so forth, that's typically receivable if you want to cancel the contract, if they order trusses or floor joists or this or that. So there is a certain, you're kind of connected in a way until you come to a negotiated agreement if you want to end the contract. And mm-hmm. that is in cases where you find it's a huge amount of money that... that you're going to get less. I have not seen the prices per se of construction jobs go down as much. Only because if you look at the different products, usually the roughing is not the most expensive part of the job. It's the finishing.
Yeah.
And that's the good news is when the finishing goes down, the prices go down because that's what affects the thing.
Okay.
And I have not seen a drastic change on that just yet.
Okay. So it's a good idea to at least do the research.
Do the research. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. And I'll be curious. He could give us follow-up on what his, where his research took him.
After okay.
That. Because, you know, it, we could use that as a case study for future issues.
All right. And
that's another thing with extensions, Dan, is it's true. You sign it today, but it could take a year. Sometimes I've seen cases where it took 2 years before the city issues were finalized.
Yeah.
So there's a risk factor, but the risk is more on your side because with inflation, the prices are really going up.
That's
not going
exactly
down.
It.
I've
yeah.
never seen, you know, negative inflation.
Nope.
Before.
So Rob from Laval, let us know what happens and we'll pick it up on the other side of the 9:30 news on the Home Improvement Show.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
It is just a thingamajig, I suppose. We'll get to your calls in just a sec at 514-790-0800. A text has come in to 514-800 for Walter Assey of Renovco. How do you seal an unused chimney? to avoid the cold air from coming in and causing condensation and damages?
It's a good question. You have to seal the top to cap it completely. That's number one. And number two, if you want to do a fast fix on the outside, there's something called a chimney balloon. And what you do is it's a device that you buy and it inflates and you just put it inside the chimney and that kind of seals it. But you want to seal the top and the bottom at the same time. If you don't want to go that route, you can always go to the conventional route of putting, let's say, cement board and insulation and sealing it that way as well. So there's really two ways. The chimney balloon is a faster way. It's inexpensive as well. And you could do it yourself.
Yeah.
And what I would do is I would start with that. So I will just make sure that, you know, my chimney up on the roof is capped or completely sealed. I'll put the balloon and I'll pass winter with it just to see if it actually did work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's to your satisfaction. Then you don't have to go to the other route of, you know, the big job. Not big job, but a bigger job. You're working in a confined, tight space. So it's not as much fun, you know, because you are literally in that hole trying to frame it and insulate it and so on and so forth and come back all, you know, charred up. So it's not a fun thing to do. That's why I always recommend going with the balloon solution.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go right back to the phones. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Good morning, everybody. Mr. Assey.
Good morning.
How can we help?
So I have a question for Mr. Assey.
Mm-hmm.
We just did our garage floor. We poured a new concrete floor with all the necessary materials. It was a very good job. It was done very nicely. Now I want to fix my garage walls. I want to cover them and decorate the garage a little bit, make it more decored. And I've been getting so many different opinions on what to do. Somebody told me that I have to insulate the exterior walls of the garage. It should be treated like the inside of a house. And I'm not sure because I've never heard of that before. Could you tell me what I should do in that garage if I want to cover the walls with tiles or gyprock or some material?
What is it covered with now?
Cinder block and cement.
Cinder
block. It's raw.
Okay. And is it the heated garage?
I don't usually heat it, but there is heating in the garage if I want it, yes.
Okay. And are you planning to heat the garage?
Well, again, some people told me I have to treat it like the house and keep it hot or heat it in winter. And, you know, some people told me it's not necessary because it never gets freezing, the garage. It never gets that cold, but it's not as warm as the house.
Okay. Well, here's where just to make it kind of simpler for you, do you have a bedroom above it or is it freestanding on its own type of a thing?
No, it's living room, dining room on top of the garage. It's a bungalow. So.
On top of the garage. So you do have a heated space on top?
Yes.
Okay. So the insulation inside the garage ceiling becomes extremely important. Okay. Because you are going to have a colder structure when you don't heat a structure below it. So you don't want to lose that heat. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't have any plumbing in your garage or any plumbing in the walls of the garage, then there's, you know, when I say plumbing, it could even be a hose for a garden hose for the outside, but the pipes pass through there. That becomes important because those pipes might freeze. But because you have cement block walls, if you don't have any of these things, then you don't necessarily need to heat the garage. The only issue that you might have, if you have a cement type ceiling right now, because, you know, a lot of it is cement stucco, if it's an older garage, then you don't have as much the problem with condensation and the issue of mold. But when you do have a drywall and you have certain condensation happening, then you can start seeing mold spores forming on your drywall. If you don't have that problem now, just because the temperature never gets to that level, then you're okay. But if you find that you are having condensation on anything that is cellulose-based material, like the wood or the drywall, then it's something to worry about. Okay, so just to simplify it a bit more for you, the ceiling would have to be insulated for sure. I think it already is. I don't know if you've poked at it to see what's below it, because usually that's what they do. The walls, you don't necessarily need to have them heated, insulated, I should say. But in very cold days, you might need to crank it up a little bit just to avoid to have condensation.
We do have a... We installed years ago, a few years ago, we installed a heater, a fan on the ceiling. Although mm-hmm. we do have ducts from our heating system in the garage that I closed for air conditioning and heat. I do have a heater in the garage if I want to heat it. You recommend, somebody told me that I should spray the foam on the exterior wall, the whole exterior wall. You're recommending if I want to do that, I should also insulate the ceiling, which makes a lot of sense.
Well, be careful though. This is a very common mistake that contractors do sometimes. You cannot just spray the urethane and let it be. You cannot. You're not allowed. It's flammable. It will, first of all, if any spark, it causes big damage and very fast. So if you're going to have that, you have to spray a cement coating on top, ignifuge, if you wish, if you want to have the term for it. You have to do the studying, the framing, and then you have to urethane, and you have to put a drywall, and you have to tape the drywall. So it's not just a question, okay, let me just spray some urethane and keep it exposed. You cannot do that, should not do that. And if any insurance inspection happens, you're in big trouble.
I understand. We were going to spray it and cover it, maybe pile the lower part of the garage and put drywall on the top of the tiles so we don't damage anything with cars or whatnot.
Yeah.
If we do spray it, but is it a good idea to spray the exterior wall and to insulate the exterior wall?
I mean, you don't need to necessarily. It's a good idea how if you wash your car inside and you want to use urethane, urethane is waterproof. But is it a good idea on a non-heated structure on a cement block? You might not need it. What you need more is the ceiling. And, you know, if condensation is an issue, you know, you could just turn off on the heat on those days that are causing the condensation, those temperatures are causing the condensation. So you don't need to, especially if it's an unheated garage, you don't necessarily need to insulate it. It helps for sure, because to bring it down to zero becomes much harder in colder days. But also, you become a bit more responsible about the porosity of the material. Because right now you have cement blocks. It doesn't, it's not as sensitive as other type of material. You add drywall to this. Drywall tend to be a bit more finicky about humidity levels, about condensation levels, frost levels, this and that. So it becomes a bit more of maintenance issue for you. But then the good part is, if you want to heat your garage, you set it at, I don't know, even 10 degrees, it works, you know, because you have insulates, you can heat it much faster. That's the difference when you have the insulation.
All right, Bill, we got to run. We're up against the clock. Thanks so much for the call.
One last little question.
Well, we don't have time. As I say, we're up against the clock. I'm really sorry, but we're back next week. Thanks so much for the call.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Our remaining moments with Walter Assey of Renovco. Let's go right back to the phones. This is Brossard. Hi there, Robert.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. How can we help you?
So I've got some big cracks in my garage floor, like several millimeters. And there was a pyrite test that was done, and it showed no pyrite or negligible amounts of pyrite. So I'm wondering, other than that, like what else could cause big cracks like that? And is it something I need to worry about?
I mean, many things could cause a crack. If this is a newer job, it would have been faster curing than needed for the cement. So what happens
it's
is
an old
with
house. It's from 1976.
Okay, so it's when they poured. It could be many things again. It could be they poured it in a cold day on a frozen ground. It could be the movement of the house itself. It could be many things. Now, you know, when I say from the time of the pour, even sometimes we pour brand new slabs, and they're not adequately watered, a lot of the time we ignore that part. But it's really important that you water your slab every day. So minor cracks start to appear. If that's not done adequately, and with time these cracks become bigger, as you know, the movement happens, the slab works, the ground underneath was not adequately prepared, not enough gravel, so many things could lead to that. Now, what you could do is you could fix these cracks and see if they reappear, just to see if there's something a bit more underlying underneath the cracks. Okay. If you fix them and they don't reappear right away, then your problem is kind of fixed, if you wish. But if your main worry would have been the pyrite, the great news is that you don't have pyrite, so that makes it more of a superficial problem. Now, we've seen cases where it happened because the cement batch mix was wrong. They put too much water in the concrete, and that led to, if you want, didn't cure properly because it was too wet, too humid. The mix was, or sometimes even the mix is wrong. If you speak to, for example, cement contractors, I'm just going to do a follow-up information. It's funny because you could name certain companies. They ask you where you're getting your cement from. Mm-hmm. Okay. Obviously, we're not going to name these companies that are not liked by cement contractors, but they, the ones out there that know that are cement contractors, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It's very important for them where you're getting the cement from, because there are certain suppliers that they don't like because they put too much water in their cement. They don't like the mix. They don't like how it's applied. They don't like how it cures and gets them in trouble for the workmanship afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the wise is going to really go back to that day in 1974 on a Friday afternoon when that slab was poured, what kind of concrete was used, what was the temperature, how was the preparation below the slab, how many inches did they pour, put any wire meshes underneath, any treille métallique or anything like that to make it stronger. We've seen cases where the slab was only 3 inches thick in a garage. That's not good, right? And today's world, we are recommending 6 inches. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's many different reasons why it happened. The idea behind it is how do we kind of go forward from there? The choices are limited, right? You either redo the slab if it's really bothering you and there are big cracks, or you just repair the cracks and see mm-hmm. how they behave.
Okay, very good. And is it possible that there's water infiltration underneath and that's kind of what's causing it? And if so, would I have to like redo the drains or anything like that?
That is a possibility that is, I would say, not really. I mean, you will have telltale signs, okay? Meaning if you do have any water issues, you're going to see a fluorescence on the surface of the concrete. Mm-hmm. You're going to see that chalky.
I do have that.
Okay. So you might have some type of... what's happening is that cement is getting saturated, and then it's the salt actually pushing through. That's what it is. The calcium and what have you. Now, do you use it? Do you wash your car inside the garage?
No, it stays. No, I don't.
Okay. Do you use your garage in the winter?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. So, I want you to be careful when you say that, because that could also simply have been from the days there was a snowstorm. You came in with a car full of snow. It kind of fell on the floor and it melted, and that could give you a fake, if you want, a fake diagnosis of the problem.
Wow.
So, okay. When we are kind of looking at these things, we have to look at multiple angles. Now, what I would do is, I would recommend very strongly that you fix these cracks, because it's inexpensive to do. And you could even do it yourself in a lot of the cases if you're a bit handy, and see how this behaves. I don't necessarily have anything structural to worry about. So it's not like there's no danger for you, in the garage. So that is, you're not there. There's nothing structural in slab anyways. So that's why it's worth it to fix it and see how it behaves rather than going with a full slab scenario that you might not need.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, off air, if you need any help how to do it, we could definitely help you as well with that.
All right. Hope that helps, Robert. Thanks so much.
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
Cheers. And that that about wraps it up on the Home Improvement Show. Walter, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I get paid to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Walter Assia, Vernovco, Dan Laxer for Ken Connors. Stay tuned for The Car Show with Lisa Christensen after the 10 o'clock news with Tom Whalen.